What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Giants Nation podcast. First of all, I hope everyone's having a wonderful Friday afternoon, which I already said that. Wow. I gotta stop reminding me to say things that I already say, or I already said, so. But yeah, but seriously, I hope everyone's having a wonderful Friday afternoon. Hopefully everyone's staying safe out there. It's a crazy world out there. There's been a lot of crazy, bad things happening in the world. But yeah, guys, I decided to come back on here today because I want to talk about this Giants offense really quick. I never really did this before. But I'm gonna be I decided to come on here because I wanted to talk about I wanted to talk about, sorry, I thought someone was going to barge in, and just let you guys know, if someone barges in, I have to restart it, because I don't want anyone to mess up what I'm about to talk about, but I decided to come on here because I wanted to talk about the 10 players on this offense that are in perfect situations to thrive. And I'm not just talking about Darren Waller from the Giants. I'm also talking about other players for other different teams. So, yeah. But without further ado, let's get right into basically another list. So, you know how people always say, player development in the NFL isn't always linear. You know, football is a game with so many moves, with so many moving parts and variables that an individual player's production can ebb and flow over the years. There are so many reasons why some do and don't thrive at the level they could potentially reach based on their talents. So that in mind here, I'm going to be taking a closer look at 10 offensive players who are ready to roll in 2023, thanks to some tiny or massive changes to their football ecosystems. So I want to start with quarterback Justin Herbert really quick, just because, look at, I have Justin Herbert at number one, and here's my reasons why I feel like he can thrive. He has a new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. You know, he's also going to be getting left tackle Rashawn Slater, who's going to be, hopefully he can stay healthy, and Justin Herbert, he's going to be healthy as well. Obviously, he recovered from having broken ribs, so. That's why I feel like he can thrive. You know, look at face of the franchise, Justin Herbert, who also got a contract. He finally has a new offensive coordinator, former Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. Obviously, Kellen Moore, he led a productive offense in Dallas, not just one time, but for. Ever since he got to Dallas, he's been leading a lot of productive offenses in Dallas, as they boasted a top five scoring offense in 2022. I mean, the Cowboys, they put up 27.5 points per game. That was the fourth most in the NFL, and the Cowboys offense averaged 354.9 yards per game. You know, obviously the development of Dak Prescott, who broke the Cowboys' single season passing touchdown record in 2021 under Kellen Moore, was at the center of Kellen Moore's impact. According to Mike McCarthy, who will be calling plays for the Cowboys offense this year, you know, he wanted to take the reins back and call plays again. I feel like, you know, and I actually said this really when the Chargers made the move by hiring Kellen Moore Kellen Moore paired with Justin Herbert, who Justin Herbert has the most passing yards with a player's first three seasons in NFL history and the second most passing touchdowns through a player's first three seasons in NFL history, will likely lead to many more fireworks at SoFi Stadium. Former offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi's Chargers offense averaged an NFL low 6.34 air yards per pass attempt last season, woefully underutilizing one of Justin Herbert's biggest strengths. Dak Prescott averaged 8.41 air yards per pass attempt over his first four seasons with Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator. The ninth most in the NFL in that span. I feel like Justin Herbert should see a similar upstick in that department, only strengthening the Chargers' aerial attack. You know, the Chargers ranked 13th in scoring offense, you know, in 2022, despite having Justin Herbert, running back Austin Eckler, you know, he was the NFL's scrimmage touchdowns leader in each of the last two seasons. And an outstanding wide receiver duo in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. That duo has since become a trio with 2023 first round pick Quentin Johnston out of TCU now on board. In Kellen Moore's four seasons from 2019 to 2022, calling plays for the Cowboys ranked second in scoring offense, you know. Second in scoring offense and total offense, behind only the reigning Super Bowl champions and the Kansas City Chiefs, and 401.5 total yards per game. You know, 28.8 points per game and 401.5 total yards per game. So I feel like better use of Justin Herbert's and his playmakers' talents should have this Chargers offense playing much more prolific football. You know, if the Chargers can keep their offensive line and their defensive starters like Rashawn Slater, four-time Pro Bowl defensive end Joey Bosa, and three-time Pro Bowl safety Derwin James healthy, a huge if given their injury woes the last couple of seasons. Justin Herbert will be thriving in 2023. So, I got Justin Herbert at number one. At number two, now I hate mentioning Dallas Cowboys players because, you know, I can't stand them. But, you know, I'm a very honest person, and when I see something, I'm going to talk about it. When I see pure talent, I'm going to talk about it. I want to talk about running back Tony Pollard. And this is the guy who was a backup. Now he's going to be the starting running back for the Dallas Cowgirls. Here's my reasons why I feel like Tony Pollard will thrive. First of all, he's going to be the starting running back. That's the first reason. And the second reason, Ezekiel Elliott is on the. He's a New England Patriot. That's my reasons why, and it might sound odd when I really didn't explain anything, but here's why this is gonna make Tony Pollard thrive. I mean, all signs out of Dallas Cowboys training camp indicate Tony Pollard is in line for a gigantic season this upcoming year. I mean, the guy's really young. He's only 26 years old. You know, he earned his first Pro Bowl selection after the 2022 season because of a career high 1,378 scrimmage yards and 12 total touchdowns. This guy topped 1,000 rushing yards for the first time, and 75% of his scoring was on the ground with 9 rushing touchdowns. Despite Tony Pollard suffering a fractured fibula in the Cowboys' season-ending NFC divisional round playoff defeat against the 49ers, Dak Prescott completely forgot about Tony Pollard's injury while practicing alongside of him in training camp because of how smooth the running back's rehabilitation process has gone. You know, Dak Prescott said this at training camp in Oxnard, California on August 17th. He was saying, "He's Tony Pollard. He's talking about this is what he said about Tony Pollard. He said he's been the same guy since he was drafted, and the year he was drafted was the year Zeke held out. You know, then he Dak continued on saying being able to come in, then have such a huge role early in training camp to take all the reps, to pass protect, and to essentially be an every down back in his first training camp to when Zeke came back, they could get into a dual tandem type of back rotation. Now, look at, I feel like now that Tony Pollard is being able to take the step and have the starting role, it's very obvious this guy is a true professional. He takes care of his body. He leads by example. And he's the perfect pro for guys to watch his approach. Even coming off an injury, you don't even think about that. And it's a credit to how he approached his rehab and how he goes about his game. You know, Tony Pollard, you know, then Dak continued on saying Tony Pollard is a hell of a back, a hell of a player, and he's going to have another huge year. So obviously, those were the words from Dak Prescott. Look at Tony Pollard already being at essentially full health is a critical development for the Silver and Blue, because when healthy, this guy, he's as dynamic with the football in his hand as anyone in the entire NFL. His 5.9 yards per touch led the league among players with at least 200 touches in 2022. Just as notable as that with the Cowboys releasing Zeke, you know, who Zeke was one of their franchise leaders, who's Zeke's 3.9 yards per touch was dead last in the league among players with at least 200 touches last season. It's clearly Tony time in Dallas, despite the contract and productivity a year ago. Obviously, Zeke was on a six-year, $90 million contract, received 16 more touches than Tony Pollard. You know, I feel like Tony Pollard's backfield mates are now the undrafted Rico Dowdle. Hopefully I said his last name right. And also 2023 sixth-round pick, Deuce Vaughn, and the undrafted Hunter Lupeke. And look at Sam 49ers Pro Bowl running back Christian McCaffrey totaled 1,880 scrimmage yards, 502. That's 502 more than Tony Pollard's 1,378, while ranked second in yards per touch behind the Cowboys rusher. Christian McCaffrey had 97 more touches than Tony Pollard in 2022. If Tony Pollard can maintain a similar yards per catch average on a higher workload, he should be able to perform like one of the NFL's top five running backs in 2023. So I got Tony Pollard at number two. Now, look, just because I'm saying all this good stuff about this guy doesn't mean I want to happen, you know? Because I'm a cop. I can't stand the Cowboys. But like I said before, when I see a player, and I don't care if you're on the Cowboys, if I see a player that's talented enough to show up for their team, I'm gonna call them out on it, you know. So yeah, so I got Tony Pollard at number two. And number three, I had to put Darren Waller at number three. The reason why I think Darren Waller is going to thrive is because, first of all, this guy, he's going to be a clear-cut top passing game. He's going to be the number one option on this offense. It's just going to happen. He's going to be the main target in this offense in Brian Daboll's offense. So That's my reasons why I think Darren Waller will thrive. You know, this guy signed a 3-year, $51 million extension with the Raiders on the eve of the 2022 regular season. He's now going to be joining the Giants as one of the more prolific tight ends across the last four seasons. He trails only the last two first-team All-Pro tight ends, Travis Kelce, and Travis Kelce, the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs, and Mark Andrews, the tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, in catches and receiving yards since 2019. I mean, the Daniel Jones, Darren Waller pairing could create fireworks. You know, since Daniel Jones had the eighth highest passer rating in the entire NFL when throwing two tight ends, but he targeted them at the 31st highest rate in the league last season. Darren Waller could also help unlock Daniel Jones' deep ball since he had seven catches of 20 or more yards downfield. The most among all tight ends in 2022 despite missing 8 games. The Giants were also one of the top 10 red zone offenses in the NFL a year ago, converting 63.3% of their red zone drives into touchdowns. Which was the 7th highest rate in the NFL, despite not having a go-to big body like Darren Waller, who is 6'6", weighing around 255 pounds. I think it's very safe to say you could throw it up to Darren Waller. Like, it doesn't matter if there's two defenders covering him, you know. He's gonna catch the ball, you know. So I think it's safe to say Daboll should have fun with Darren Waller's route concepts. You know, Darren Waller, like I said before, he's gonna be the clear cut number one option for the Giants. Instead of having to fight all-pro receiver Davante Adams for the spotlight and targets like 2022 like he did in Las Vegas. On a receiving core that includes Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton, and Paris Campbell as other likely starters, everything is lined up for Darren Waller to have a monster 2023 season. So I got Darren Waller at number 3. At number 4, I gotta put that bad man, just like Stephen A would say, Aaron freaking Rodgers. Yep, the Jets finally have a quarterback for the first time since Joe Namath. And his name is Aaron Rodgers, a guy who is one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time, a clear-cut Hall of Famer. Oh, man. Here's why I think Aaron Rodgers will thrive this season. A re-energized Aaron Rodgers spent OTAs, mini camp, and training camp fully invested in working with his new teammates. Plus, he is fully healthy once again. You know, that's why. When the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, you know, NFL home of 18 seasons from 2005 to 2022, agreed to send the 4-time NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP to the Big Apple via trade, Aaron Rodgers became the best quarterback to ever put on the Jets uniform. That's not an exaggeration. I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers against every Jets quarterback since the 1970 NFL or AFL merger. You know, Aaron Rodgers had 10 seasons when he was throwing for more than 4,000 yards. No Jets quarterback has been able to do that. Aaron Rodgers in 8 seasons has been able to throw more than 30 passing touchdowns. Only one quarterback's been able to do that. Aaron Rodgers, four times in the NFL has been an MVP. No Jets quarterback has been able to do that. Aaron Rodgers' playoff record is 11-10. Every Jets quarterback, aside from Aaron Rodgers' playoff record, is 10-12. And Aaron Rodgers has a Super Bowl win. No other Jets quarterback has that, besides Joe Namath. However, New York, the Jets, they're not acquiring Aaron Rodgers who played like the league's back-to-back NFL MVP that he was in 2020 and 2021. They're acquiring this guy who's about to turn 30, who's about to turn 40 years old in December, after coming off arguably his worst NFL season. His 91.1 passer rating in 2022 was the lowest of his 15-year tenure as the Packers starting quarterback. You know, this is Aaron Rodgers in 2022. He had the third worst, you know, he threw for 3,695 yards. That was the third worst in the NFL. His pass attempts or pass yards was 6.8. That was the second worst in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers threw 26 passing touchdowns. That was the fifth worst in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers had he threw 12 interceptions. That was the second worst in the NFL. And he had the worst passer rating in the NFL with a 91.1. So, look, much of Aaron Rodgers' play last year can be explained by the broken thumb he played through since the last play of Week 5. And it was against my Giants in London when we beat the Packers 27-22. You know, Aaron Rodgers said this. He said, "I think I've had worse injuries I've played with." You know, look, I mean, Dak Prescott missed 5 games to heal from a similar injury. You know, Aaron Rodgers opted to tough it out and play in all 17 games with an improved Jordan Love breathing down his neck. I mean, most of which he had a significant amount of tape wrapped around his thumb and palm on his throwing hand. I mean, just watching Aaron Rodgers throw week to week, it was clear he didn't have the same laser-like accuracy that he has become a staple of his Hall of Fame career. So I think it's safe to say it's back now after this perfectly placed jump ball to receiver Garrett Wilson in the Jets preseason finale against the Giants. And I already saw it, so they're showing the video on Twitter. I don't want to see it because I don't want to see it. You know, I hate seeing it. You know, so I mean, there's clearly complete offensive energy between Aaron Rodgers and his hand-picked offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, a person Aaron Rodgers has also called a dear friend. There were times last season when the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers weren't on the same page with their offensive vision. That is no longer an issue in Florham Park, so Aaron Rodgers is ready to roll once again in 2023. So, I got Aaron Rodgers at number 4. At number 5, speaking of Garrett Wilson, I got Garrett Wilson at number 5. And here's my reasons why I think he's going to thrive this year, going into his second season. Catching passes from Aaron Rodgers instead of Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, or Chris Streveler. That's why. Garrett Wilson's going to ball out this year. You know, I think he's going to be in the voting for Offensive Player of the Year. You know, and I think he's going to do it. Here's why. First of all, this guy, you know, he actually did win. He won Offensive Player of the Year. You know, he won Offensive Player of the Year last year. You know, Garrett Wilson, fun fact, Garrett Wilson's the only New York Jet to win the Offensive Player of the Year award. You know, obviously this guy, he led the entire 2022 rookie class in catches, in catches and receiving yards, while catching passes from the following quarterbacks: Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Mike White, and Chris Streveler. This guy, obviously Garrett Wilson, he's very young. He's only 23 years old. This guy added 4 receiving touchdowns. Now, in case you live under a rock, Garrett Wilson will be catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, a 4-time NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP. Aaron Rodgers is now the Peppers' favorite receivers to targets, and Garrett Wilson should be no different. Aaron Rodgers has already compared the second-year player. We already heard what Aaron Rodgers said. We all heard what he said in the press conference. He literally compared Garrett Wilson to another future Hall of Famer, and first team All Pro Davante Adams, who was the Green Bay Packers' longtime top option. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers said on July 20th, when asked if Garrett Wilson reminds him of Davante Adams, this is what Aaron Rodgers said: "Look, I love Davante. I saw him this summer. Davante is in the category by himself still, but that 17 reminds me of the other 17 as far as his ability to get in and out of breaks and his quick twitch at the line of scrimmage, for sure." That's what Aaron Rodgers said. Now, I like Garrett Wilson, but I'm not there yet I'm not there yet to compare this kid to Davante Adams. You know, Davante Adams, as of right now, like Aaron Rodgers said. I agree with what Aaron Rodgers said, though, on how Davante Adams, he's in a tier all by himself. When it comes to route running abilities, there's no one that can run routes as good as Davante Adams. You know, he's going to the Hall of Fame. You know, but Garrett Wilson, he could be there. And look, I understand it's only preseason, but this new Jets duo already has their jump ball chemistry down, as evidenced by their 14-yard touchdown against the Giants. Like I said, in the preseason finale, I expect Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers to make similar music all season long. You know, so I got Garrett Wilson at number 5. Let me see. Let me recount my list. So Justin Herbert, 1. Tony Pollard at 2. Darren Waller at 3. Aaron Rodgers at 4. Garrett Wilson at 5. All right, guys, at number 6, even though a lot of people have been raving about this guy, it's going to be a big year for this guy also. You know, the New York Giants will be facing this guy Sunday, September 10th at MetLife Stadium. Dak Prescott. Here's why I feel like he's going to thrive. You know, and I'm not saying this because I love the Cowboys. I'm saying this because you guys already know how big of a fan I am of Dak Prescott. I always say I hate the Cowboys, but I love me some Dak Prescott. I feel like Dak's going to thrive. And here's why. The Cowboys have two legit wide receivers, you know, in CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks. And the first offense of his career, you know, Dak Prescott, you know, he's going to be playing behind an offense in his entire career in which the routes and blocking are cinched up to his footwork. You know, look at Dak Prescott. He will thrive in 2023 because, you know, he'll have a new voice relaying plays into his helmet. Now it's going to be interesting to see how Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott work together. You know, because Mike McCarthy hasn't called plays in years. You know, but like I said, I'm not saying this to praise the Cowboys. I'm a Giants fan. I would never do that. I'm praising Dak Prescott because I want Dak Prescott to have a great long career in the NFL. You know, so Mike McCarthy will be calling plays for the Cowboys. You know, he called offensive plays in 6 seasons as the offensive coordinator for the Saints from 2000 to 2004. And the 49ers in 2005, as well as throughout the bulk of his 13 seasons as the Packers from 2006 to 2018. Mike McCarthy is invigorating the existing playbook with elements of his foundational West Coast offense, which led Dak Prescott to name the Cowboys' new offense the Texas Coast. New offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer went out of his way to clarify on the 8th of June, the final day of the Cowboys' mandatory minicamp, that many elements of Kellen Moore's attack will remain in place. A logical decision since Kellen Moore's offense averaged 27.7 points per game across its 4 seasons running the offense from 2019 to 2022, which is the second most in the NFL since 2019, behind the Chiefs, 28.8 points per game. Well, I feel like one of the adjustments in the new system for the Cowboys will likely be more up-tempo, no-huddle action, a staple of McCarthy's offenses alongside future Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers when the two were together on the Green Bay Packers. The Cowboys averaged 65.5 offensive plays per game in 2022, a number that ranked as the ninth most in the NFL. The Cowboys are likely looking to climb into the top five in that metric in 2023, which I hope it does not happen, you know. And also, according to the Cowboys' official website, you know, Dak Prescott said this on June 7th, when you can change your pace, you're going to catch the defense off guard. You want as many at-bats, so we'll try to get as many plays as we can, as many chances to make big plays. Lastly, we want to be the aggressors. We want to attack these guys and push the tempo. We just want to make sure that we're indicating the pace and being the aggressors so the team is on our pace and not theirs. Yeah, you know, like, you know, and it's understandable. You know, I mean, one of the goals of this new Cowboys offense is to become more efficient, score more points, and have fewer turnovers. Obviously, you know, that's clear. That's the clear thing about this new offense. Last season, Dak hindered the offense's efficiency by co-leading the NFL with 15 interceptions. Yet the Cowboys don't see their quarterback as needing to be fixed so much as he needs to embrace some of the safety nets the new Texas Coast offense will provide. You know, Brian Schottenheimer said this about Dak Prescott. He was saying he certainly doesn't need to be fixed. There's no question about that. The guy is a great player, and you guys have watched him more than I have. He's a competitor. He's going to compete and say I can make that throw. He's just got to understand situations in the game, down and distance, and all that stuff. And clean up some of the decisions he knows last year that he kind of missed. And another area Mike McCarthy and Brian Schottenheimer are looking to tie even tighter around Dak Prescott. It looks like, you know, the addition to timing the routes of his footwork is the way they pass protect him. Dak Prescott, you know, obviously Dak was under pressure on 31.4% of his dropbacks in 2022, a number they would like to see decline in 2023. You know, Brian Schottenheimer was saying when you look at interceptions, there's so many factors that go into it. The point is the protection part of it, of us trying to tighten up some of the pocket and make it a little bit firmer in how we kind of fit our backs into being the sideboard for different either your sliding protections, things like that. That's more of a philosophy for Mike McCarthy, that we've been around. Sorry guys, that's just what the words say. Offensive line coach for the Cowboys, Mike Solari, and this is from Brian Schottenheimer. He was also saying offensive line coach Mike Solari and I have been together a couple of different times. That is something that we've definitely worked towards doing. I feel like we've come away with not only just the right answers and fits for blitzes. Everyone talks about blitzes and how you block those up. But just even in a four-man rush, either you're sliding or either you're in a pocket declaration, we block into how you fit the pieces together. If the backs are involved or either they're blocking someone who just fit in through a gap, they're always involved, and we definitely want to play in a physical mindset and all protections issued. You know, I mean, like, given those schematic adjustments plus the trade acquisition of Brandon Cooks, whose six career seasons of at least 1,000 receiving yards are tied for the third most in the NFL since he entered the NFL in 2014, trailing only Mike Evans, who is the wideout for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Kansas City Chiefs tight end and Travis Kelce in that statistic, Dak Prescott should be set up for rousing success in 2023. Like I said, I hope Dak Prescott has a good year, but not the Cowboys. We'll see what happens. So I got Dak Prescott number 6 on my list. At number 7, I think everyone's forgetting about Trevor Lawrence, because I got Trevor Lawrence at number 7. And here's my reasons why I think Trevor Lawrence will thrive this season. System continuity under head coach Doug Peterson. That's one. And Calvin Ridley. Trevor Lawrence, he's finally going to have a true number one receiver. Look, the primary reason why the Jaguars are the prohibitive favorite to repeat as AFC South champions is because, well, one, Trevor Lawrence's continued growth under Doug Peterson, going from having Urban Meyer as his head coach to Doug Peterson launched his production into another galaxy. You know, and the second reason is that the NFC South, the AFC South, it's trash. Let's just be honest here. It's trash. You know, Trevor Lawrence threw 12 touchdowns and 17 interceptions, which was the third worst touchdown interception ratio in the entire NFL, which led to a 71.9 passer rating, which was the second worst in the entire NFL as a rookie in 2021. Following the signings of receivers Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, plus tight end Evan Ingram, who used to play for my Giants, in addition to Doug Peterson's arrival, Trevor Lawrence became a top 10 quarterback with a top 5 touchdown to interception rate with 25-8, which was tied for the 5th best in the NFL, and Trevor Lawrence had the 10th best passer rating at 95.2. I feel like Trevor Lawrence's dramatic progression is historic among quarterbacks who have been in his shoes. His passer rating increase of 23.3 points is the second highest jump among first overall pick passers from their first to second seasons in NFL history. Only Hall of Famer and four-time Super Bowl champion Terry Bradshaw progressed more quickly than Trevor Lawrence from his first to second season. Now, imagine how much better Trevor Lawrence could be with system continuity in regards to the playbook. Entering his second season with Doug Peterson, you know, third in the NFL overall. Plus the addition of Calvin Ridley, who's still pretty young. He's only 28 years old, who ranked top 5 in receiving yards back in 2020. The last time that happened was the last full season he played. You know, Calvin Ridley only played 5 games with the Falcons in 2021 before stepping aside to focus on his mental health. He was out for the entire 2022 season because of a gambling suspension. Before the essentially 2-year layoff, Calvin Ridley was one of the league's best pass catchers. Entering the 2021 campaign, this guy was in a six-player club of guys with at least 3,000 receiving yards and at least 25 receiving touchdowns from 2018 to 2020. The other players that were in this group were Davante Adams, Travis Kelce, Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, and Tyler Lockett. Early on Jacksonville's offseason, Calvin Ridley was wowing coaches and showing he can still be a top-tier number one wide receiver. You know, the Jaguars offensive coordinator, Press Taylor, said this on May 22nd. He was saying, "I've been really impressed with Calvin. I've watched every snap Calvin's played in the NFL, just like a lot of our guys have. So we're very confident in the player we're getting." And then to be able to meet him in person, we've had a lot of people that vouched for him. Obviously, going back to when we acquired him, but the work he's put in this offseason has been impressive, just in terms of meeting the extra work he does. And you can tell he is doing it because he comes in the next day, he's got his list of questions, and they're very thought out. You can tell he's peeked ahead of the install or just looking a couple plays ahead as we go on. So he's done a great job just intermixing with the group and making his own role. You know, I mean, look, it's very obvious. A revived Calvin Ridley alongside a confident, comfortable Trevor Lawrence could lead to the 2021 first overall pick reaching new levels of production. You know, so I got Calvin Ridley. I got Calvin Ridley. Next up, even though everyone's not talking about the Saints, and I'm not talking about Derek Carr, I'm not talking about Michael Thomas, I got my guy Chris Olave. I think Chris Olave is going to have a breakout season going into his second year. You know, and here's why. I think even though I don't have a lot of faith in Derek Carr, he's a better option than Andy Dalton. So it's very obvious that there's been a quarterback upgrade and a healthy, legitimate receiving threat on the other side of Michael Thomas. You know, look at Chris Olave. He was on pace to top Garrett Wilson for Offensive Rookie of the Year before a hamstring injury sidelined him for two games. You know, he had to settle for 72 catches and 1,000 receiving yards, 1,042 receiving yards. In addition to four receiving scores, I mean, Chris Olave, his catches and receiving yards were second in the 2022 rookie class, trailing only Garrett Wilson. I was about to say Zach Wilson. However, his underlying metrics indicate he could be in for a bigger season in year two. Now, Chris Olave averaged an incredibly efficient 2.42 yards per route run in 2022, which was the seventh most in the NFL among the 127 players who ran at least 300 routes last season. The only players who averaged more yards per route run than Chris Olave from that group in 2022 were first-team All-Pro Tyreek Hill, 2022 Offensive Player of the Year Justin Jefferson, Pro Bowler A.J. Brown, Speedster Jalen Waddle, Pro Bowler Stephon Diggs, and 2022 first-team All-Pro Devontae Adams. Chris Olave also received an upgrade at quarterback, going from Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston to four-time Pro Bowler Derek Carr. The Raiders' all-time leader in passing yards and passing touchdowns, you know, which was Derek Carr. Michael Thomas, who has played in 10 games since 2020, is also supposedly entering the upcoming 2023 season. And I feel like with Michael Thomas's presence, that should help pull coverage away from Chris Olave. So I got Chris Olave. Next up, even though the Texans might not be that good this year, I still think there's one player on that Texans team that could have a breakout season. And I'm not talking, even though I wanted to put my guy CJ Stroud in here, CJ Stroud's a rookie, he's going to make mistakes. I got to talk about running back Damian Pierce. And here's why I feel like he's going to thrive. And it's very obvious. An improved offensive cast will open up more room to run for this guy. You know, obviously, Damian Pierce was the hub of the Texans offense in 2022 because of a woeful aerial attack. You know, this guy was the fourth round pick in the 2022 NFL draft. You know, he ranked eighth in the entire league in rushing yards per game and third in tackles avoided. You know, the only other running back that he was trailing was Josh Jacobs and Nick Chubb. So I feel like with the extra room to run provided by the additions of the second pick in the first round is C.J. Stroud, wide receiver Robert Woods, tight end Dalton Schultz, and offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick's Shanahan-style zone blocking scheme, Damian Pierce could thrive in a big way in 2023. and last but not least, guys, at number 10, everyone's talking about the Packers and how good they're going to be. But I think, you know, there's got to be some reason why that happens. And I think the reason that happens, and it's not because, and I'm not, and look at, I'm not, I'm not trying to disrespect Jordan Love, but this guy could make Jordan Love better. And I'm not talking about David Bakhtiari. I'm talking about second-year wide receiver Christian Watson. And here's why. Here's why I feel like he's going to thrive. And it's very obvious. Being on the same page with Jordan Love for the entire season. And here's why I feel like that can help him thrive. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't trust you, he's not going to throw you the ball. I promise you. I promise you that. That's what Randall Cobb said on the third episode of Hard Knocks via a Bleacher Report. He does not like throwing interceptions. If he doesn't trust you, you're not... If he doesn't trust you're going to run the right route, he's not going to throw it. Christian Watson learned this truth the hard way in Green Bay last season after having an ugly drop on his first throw from Aaron Rodgers in week one against the Vikings, dropping what would have been a 75-yard touchdown. It took Christian Watson until week 10, I believe, against the Dallas Cowboys when he broke out with 107 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns on 4 catches in a 31-28 overtime victory. You know, he had to do all that to earn Aaron Rodgers' trust. From there, he exploded, finishing the year with 9 scrimmage touchdowns. The 9 touchdowns were tied for the most among all rookies with Seattle Seahawks running back Kenneth Walker III. They also were tied for the 4th most in the entire NFL among all wide receivers with a few of the league's best. That includes the Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson, the Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, the Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb,
the Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper and the Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett. You know, so
look at Christian Watson, 7 receiving touchdowns from weeks 10 to 18 were tied for the most in the entire NFL with former Packers wide receiver Davante Adams. So I feel like being on the same page with Jordan Love from the get-go in year 2 after working closely with him all offseason.
Yeah. Okay.
Closing with him. Sorry, guys. That was my sister. So I feel like being on the same page with Jordan Love from the get-go in year 2 after working closely with him all offseason could mean more fireworks for Christian Watson in 2023. So yeah, guys, that's my list. Hold on, I gotta go back. So yeah, guys, those are my 10 offensive players who I feel like are in perfect situations to thrive. And yeah, that's all I gotta say about that. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. But yeah, so far that's all I have for you guys today. I will keep you guys updated for more news about the Giants or more lists if I have any. Or if there's any questions or comments you guys have for me, you guys already know what to do. But until then, guys, I am out. Peace.